It's the Ross and Josh Show. A very good morning to you all, or a very good evening if you're in a completely different time zone or you don't quite know what time it is. That's fine, I'm not entirely sure either. My name's Ross Briley. I am one half of the Ross and Josh Show. Actually, that's not true. I am one third of the Ross and Josh Show. Of course, there is an ampersand, and he is very important. Otherwise, it would be the Ross Josh Show.
Yeah, that'd be a bit confusing. I mean, our names are already too similar as it is.
They are, yeah. We were having this chat last night.
The Ross Josh Show.
The Ross and Josh.
We could have the Joss and Rosh show.
We could have that, but that would be very confusing. They'd think that Joss Stone. Yeah, jinx.
It's probably not a good idea to jinx me on the radio.
No, I agree.
You've not thought about that one, had you?
No, I haven't.
I relieved myself from the jinx.
Yeah, well, I was going to say your full name as well. Although, I can't remember, your middle name begins with an M. Is it Macadamia?
It's close. Keep going.
Middlesex.
Let's get back to my middle name. Go on.
No, I can't think of any other words that begin with M.
You can't think of another word that begins with M?
It's a tough one, isn't it?
Morrison's?
Morrison's?
Yeah, Mark Morrison.
Mark Morrison, yeah. Is your middle name Mark? I hope your name is Joshua Mark Morrison Sadler.
I wish it was.
It's not, though, is it?
No. Mark is my middle name.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, that's all right. That's not bad. As far as middle names go, that's pretty good.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know how you judge these things, but I have.
I don't know if it is, you know.
No? What would you prefer? I mean, it's not Andromeda, obviously.
It's not Andromeda.
No, let's just clarify that, by the way. Your girlfriend's middle name is Andromeda.
That's right.
Yeah. Is it because she's a space cadet?
I think the thing is, Ross, given the fact that my girlfriend's first name is Persephone and her last name is Sensale.
Yeah.
If her middle name was Mark.
Yeah.
Persephone, Mark, Sensale.
Well, I mean, that would raise a lot of questions, wouldn't it?
Yeah, exactly. So, having Andromeda, it's just basically the middle name needs to raise its game if its competitors are at such a high level either side of it.
I find there's a bit of pressure as well with middle names, because when people ask them, they expect something exciting, something, oh, where's that come from? Oh, it was me great-great-great-great-great-great-great-granddad's name. Or something like that, something that signifies something. But I'm not sure it ever does.
Sometimes, maybe. I mean, mine
why,
literally...
Why are you Mark?
Because my uncle is called Mark.
Oh, right. What, and was he just in the room when you were born?
I don't know. I've never asked this question. Assumed that I was middle named after him.
All right, okay.
But there's very few people that I meet that are kind of like, I flipping love my middle name.
Yeah, no, that's not true, because some people go by their middle name.
What do you mean?
I mean, they drop
Yeah, but
their
the
first
only
name.
Reason that they would do that is if they despise
terrible.
Their first name.
Yeah, do you despise your first name?
Not at all. My first name is my favourite of all my names.
Is it?
Yeah.
Wow. Not Sadler, because that evokes a far gone land where you would put saddles on things.
The thing is, the problem with me having the second name Sadler is it's very unrealistic. I can't reach to the top of a horse.
That is true. It's not necessarily a horse, though, is it? You could have been saddling cats.
I could have been saddling pigs.
You
I think that's
been,
what
yeah.
I'd be more likely to be doing.
Joshua Sadler saddles pigs on Radio Yorkshire. It could be like a little documentary.
Oh, you came too quick then with the it could be like a little documentary, because we could use that as a jingle, I think.
Do you want me to do it again?
Yeah, could you do it again, please?
Okay. Joshua Sadler saddling pigs on Radio Yorkshire.
Radio Yorkshire, traffic and travel.
That's right, it's the Ross and Josh Show, it's the traffic and travel here, but unfortunately we have nobody who has been anywhere, so Joshua Sadler's going to have to do the traffic and travel. What's going on in Yorkshire, Josh?
That's right, the motorways are flipping solid, mate. There is literally, it's roadblock from here to the M62 and the M1. M5 is still there, and the M6 is near Birmingham, so it's not relevant to this travel update. So to round it all up, just stay in bed.
And that was incredible. You found your calling, I think, Josh.
I quite enjoyed that. I've never had to do the travel updates before.
Do you want to do it every hour?
Yeah, I'd love to do it every hour.
Do you want to go out and do some research? Do you have a drive about?
I could actually have some research this time, yeah. I mean, that was just off the top of my head, and that was brilliant.
So. It was brilliant, yeah. I'm disappointed you didn't comment on the only road you can see, but that's clear, though.
Well, it is clear. There's not any traffic updates needed, really, for that.
No, although there is a van just drove past that said TNT on the side. If this was a Hanna-Barbera cartoon, we would be about to be blown up.
Yeah.
So there's that to look forward to.
I'll be sure to update us on the next travel update as to whether that's something that's happened or not.
All right. Can you tell me if there's any anvils that have dropped out of the sky as well?
Yeah, absolutely. Really falling pianos from other buildings. That's more of a pedestrian danger, though, really, than a traffic-based one.
Okay. What about a kind of... if at any point anyone has driven off the side of a canyon and floated slightly in the air for a few seconds before dropping...
Before falling?
Yeah, directly downwards, yeah.
Okay, well, there's not many canyons in Yorkshire, but I'll be sure to... What could they have driven off? The side of the Kirkstall Viaduct?
Possibly, yeah.
Maybe, that's the highest thing I can think of.
What about Ribblehead Viaduct?
Where's Ribblehead?
Have you not been to Ribblehead Viaduct?
I've never been to Ribblehead Viaduct.
Oh, you have missed the treat. It's the greatest viaduct I've ever seen.
I haven't missed it. It's still there, I'm assuming, isn't it?
No, it's closed for the summer.
Oh.
they've taken it down.
But I wanted to go to Ribblehead.
Do that again.
But I wanted to go to Ribblehead.
Going to Ribblehead on Radio Yorkshire. It's the Ross and Josh Show on Radio Yorkshire. Who do you prefer, the Beatles or Sum 41?
With those two songs, Sum 41.
Sum 41, without a shadow of a doubt. In Too Deep's one of those songs that I found, especially when I played it at my birthday party. When I played it at my birthday party last year, after we had the ice cream and the jelly.
After we had the cakes and the jelly and the ice cream and we played apple bobbing.
And then just apple bobbing. It's not a Renaissance fair.
Did you never play apple bobbing?
Not at birthday parties, no.
Okay. Well, I am from Chesterfield, so...
That is true. You've been saving up all those apples and all that water.
I think you've been severely deprived of children's party games. Because there's not just there's apple bobbing. There's the game that I can't remember the name of where you have to eat the chocolate bar with the gloves and the knife and fork on.
That's just dinner time at your house. That's all you did.
Don't be silly. That'd be a luxury dinner time.
That would be. You never got dessert, did you?
No.
No. What was your favourite birthday party? I think my favourite birthday party was the one where I had a roller disco, invited 30 people, and only two of them could roller skate. And they just merely weaved in between the prostrate bodies on the floor.
To be fair, it sounds like you knew that only two of them would be able to roller skate.
Do you know what the best thing is?
You organised the chaos anyway.
You know what the best thing is? I was not one of those two. I don't know why I had.
You couldn't roller skate, but you had a.
I like a challenge.
What are we doing for my birthday? Oh, we're all going pole vaulting. Can you do it? Nah. Looks easy.
I'd love that.
A lot of professional pole vaulters can't pole vault. So
that's not true at all.
I feel like maybe Time Trumpet, you know, the TV program, has probably warped this for me. But I do sort of feel like every time I've watched it, they're just failing at it.
Just
the bars snapping or they don't get over
barely
it.
Barely getting off the ground.
Yeah,
I can't tell if you'd be a great pole vaulter or a terrible one because you're very light and small and
I'd struggle to hold the pole though, wouldn't
it? You would, but if you managed to get it in the right place, you could potentially catapult yourself into space.
This sounds like a metaphor for a lot of my experiences.
What? If you get it right, you could catapult yourself into space?
Just getting my pole into the right place, I could catapult myself into space.
Yeah.
That rhymes, doesn't it?
It does rhyme. Let's write a song. Not right now, though. We're going to catch up with Mr. Peter Brush and his first thought for the week. He's got three thoughts.
Yes.
Think about that, Josh. You are envious, I can see. Envious of a man who can have three thoughts.
You keep telling me to think about it. Do you not? I can't.
No, I realise. I realise that. Here's the wonderful Mr. Peter Brush. You can Google him if you want it. He made a website, didn't he?
He did make a website, didn't he?
You can't find him on Google, though. He's about the third page down, I think. Or you can go and see him in Edinburgh. Or you can go and see him at Wharf Chambers, actually, in Leeds. I think that's a week on Wednesday. Or you could just listen to him here on Radio Yorkshire.
So what I've been thinking, about how, like, everyone in the Bible has a beard. So you wonder why maybe the Bible wasn't perceived as being as cool as, you know, it used to be. Because, you know, beards are in, aren't they? I suppose none of the Bible characters have glasses. Maybe that would help. Like, if the Bible characters had glasses, they would look like hipsters, wouldn't they? So, I mean, it would be quite annoying, I suppose, if you want to be cool, but you have 20/20 vision. That must be very irritating.
There you go. That's Peter Brush and his first thought for the day, the week. Three thoughts.
Week, yeah.
Yeah, that's the first third of them. He does have many thoughts, many of them very unique to Peter Brush, I feel.
Yeah, I would say that. He's a unique thinker.
He is an incredibly unique thinker. I think he's potentially one of the deepest thinkers in the country.
I would agree with that.
Yeah, do you think that?
I'm trying to. Again, I struggle to think a lot of the time, so just ask me to say it, and right. then I don't have to think about it, do I?
No, you don't, no.
It can just come out of my mouth, and there's no grey matter involved in there.
No, well, there's very little grey matter involved with anything you do, isn't there?
Not.
No. You are starting to wind down, aren't you, mentally? I mean, in life, I reckon you've got about 6 to 8 months before you just give up entirely.
I think so, yeah. I've started to wonder whether my deteriorating health and mental condition is a sign of the end.
Yeah, of time, of civilization.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, yeah, because if I'm gone, then time's done, isn't it?
Do you have any last requests, anything I can do to smooth your passage?
I'd like a bouncy castle at my funeral.
For you or for everyone else?
For everyone else.
Right, okay.
Well, actually, if we could get the bouncy castle a couple of weeks before... I mean, I know you don't know where I'm going to go, but...
I do.
Do you?
Yeah.
Oh, you've seen it in the tea leaves. If get the bouncy castle... I want to have a go on it before I'm done. Also, I'd like to go wingsuit flying.
All right, yeah, we could do that.
Yeah.
What if we did that and then you landed on the bouncy castle?
Oh, that'd be a dream come true.
It'd be perfect, wouldn't it?
Yeah, that's how I want to go. I've decided.
All right, okay. On a deflated bouncy castle, that would be a great way to go.
Why is it deflated?
Because otherwise you might survive.
Yeah, but it might be really good. I might want to do it again.
That's true. You might bounce back.
The Ross and Josh Show on Radio Yorkshire.
The sky is a nice mix of grey and blue. Oh, it's lovely, isn't it?
Oh, the blue is just coming through there slightly.
It almost makes me feel like I'm on holiday.
Does it?
In a warehouse.
Where do you go on holiday?
To warehouses.
To warehouse?
Yeah, I love a good warehouse.
Do you?
Yeah, absolutely love a good warehouse. You can't beat a good warehouse.
What's your favourite warehouse? For a holiday.
Carphone.
Carphone warehouse.
No, I've never been.
You've never been to a warehouse?
No, I absolutely refuse to go. I'm terrified of carphones.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I'm absolutely terrified.
Have you ever seen an actual carphone?
Yeah, one of those ones. Yeah, my dad used to have one.
Yeah.
It was in the middle of the two seats.
Yeah.
Instead of a... handbrake.
Instead of a handbrake. Don't need a handbrake, just more talk time in the car.
Why did you have the crash, sir? I don't know. I tried to ring someone to tell them I was about to. But I didn't.
So you don't have
the handbrake,
you just have a phone there to say to someone, I've got a crash!
Yeah. And then... I'm on a hill and I can't stop my car. Could you? Oh, no, it's okay. I've hit a man.
The Ross and Josh Show on Radio Yorkshire.
Just to clarify, I don't know anything about sport or things to do with life. So, Football Manager is a computer game where you are a football manager.
It's amazing, isn't it? I mean, it's such a cryptic title. I'm surprised you managed to get it.
What I'm saying is it like, is it a first-person thing? Are you like GTA? Do you have to stand on do you have to stand on the sidelines and frown or sub people on and off?
Yeah, and you can go into shops and buy different coats and suits to wear to the next match.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. If you get to the FA Cup final, you get to go bus shopping. Get to pick the best bus, and obviously, if you've committed a lot of crimes up to that point, because it's very much a mix of football and GTA.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, just so that I know, that's
it's exactly like that. Yeah. You're going to be incredibly disappointed when you play this. If you play this,
I'm not going to play it. Am I?
It used to be when it first started. It was known as an interactive spreadsheet. That was the criticism labelled at it.
It was an interactive spreadsheet.
Yeah, people used to say, I can't believe people get involved in this because it's just an interactive spreadsheet, essentially. Because it was just stats and there was no graphics.
Okay. So you just say, I want these players.
Yeah, you'd have your team and you'd pick them for the match and then it would have text commentary. It would say, you know, Michael Owen rushes through on goal. Peter Schmeichel saves corner to Liverpool. That kind of thing. And you just have to read it. And you could speed it up as well, so it goes incredibly quickly.
I this sounds horrible. This is my idea of hell.
Exactly. Well, Tony Jameson's own personal hell. He'll be coming in to talk about his own personal hell, playing Football Manager. No, it is very addictive. It's incredibly addictive. It's not as addictive as Roller Coaster Tycoon, but that's a whole other story entirely.
Ross and Josh Show on Radio Yorkshire.
I think you need a different tone as well, because if you do everything in that
tone.
Voice... Yeah.
Well, my only tone. I've bought you a birthday present. Radio Yorkshire. I'm sorry, your father's died. It's the same tone for everything.
Do you ever use it to your advantage, that tone?
Occasionally, yeah.
What situation?
If I'm ever negotiating prices, if I'm trying to barter for anything.
Do you lean in and whisper it to the person's ear?
Yeah. And they're so weirded out.
Have you ever used it in a job interview?
I have, yeah, to get this job.
Is that what, did you actually say on Radio Yorkshire at the end of it as well?
I did, yeah. They said, how do you think the show's going to go? Very, very well. On Radio Yorkshire.
Right, good. Perfect. Well, it worked, didn't it? So, you know, I shouldn't be so critical of of your tone.
Yeah, you shouldn't be. Anyway, it's time for the travel, Josh. Are you ready?
Yeah, come on, let's do it.
Radio Yorkshire. Traffic and travel.
Sections of the M5 have been deleted whilst commuters were still using it. The destruction has led to people wandering aimlessly around Bromsgrove whilst booing and holding hamburgers in a thought bubble above their heads. Woolley Edge Services has been given a trim and is now called Short Back and Sides Edge Services. The trim was thought to have come as a result of the recent hot weather. When asked for comment, the owner of the service has simply said, "I'll have to ask Bono." A man in Chipping Sodbury has poured chips and berries all over the sodding road, leading to queues on whatever sodding road it is that runs through Chipping Sodbury. Roads without traffic include the M1, the M3, the M4, the M5, the M7 because it doesn't exist, the M15 for the same reasons, A1, B1, C1, D1, 1D, 3D, Mac 3, Three Little Pigs, the Greedy Pigs, I'll huff and I'll puff until I blow this house down. That's the traffic with me, Joshua Sadler.
The Ross and Josh Show on Radio Yorkshire.
His name's Tony Jameson. He is a wonderful stand-up comedian and he joins us in the studio now. Hello, Mr. Jameson.
Hello, fellas. How you doing?
I'm all right. How are you?
All right, yeah. It's a bit early for a Saturday, isn't it?
It's a bit early for most days.
Yeah.
As a comedian in particular.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm now aware that there's 2 9 o'clocks in a day. Yeah. I only thought there was one, strangely. Yeah.
And especially because on a Saturday morning as well, it's a bit like someone who works 9 to 5 getting up and doing a radio show at 3 o'clock in the morning or something, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's that sort of like level, really. Yeah. And I think they'd sort of struggle with it a bit as well. But be fine. I'm here now. It's all good.
You are here. You are here. You're primarily to talk about Football Manager.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because it's ruined your life.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
I mean, you're still going.
I'm still on it. I mean, it's like, I think it's like with anything, isn't it? You know, you sort of go, right, yeah, that's pretty bad, but I can live with it.
Yeah.
That sort of seems to be the premise of the show.
What other choice do you have, Tony?
I've got no choice anymore now. I'm in too much. You know, I've committed too much of my life.
Have we got
to
that
just
song?
We've already played it. Right? You've missed it.
Yeah, I've invested too much time in it. I can't just walk away now. That would be like, I'd almost feel like I've cheated myself out of it, you know? I'd sort of look back and go, yeah, I could have done so much more.
Are you talking about life or Football Manager here still?
I don't know. I think it's both, to be honest. Which one's the real one again?
It's a very good question.
No idea.
I'm still not sure. This can't be real life, can it?
Well, it's not Football Manager.
No, it's not. Josh, we might have to have a bit of a crash course with Josh because, I mean, Josh knows nothing about anything.
I say it's not Football Manager. It could be, for all I know.
Because you have no idea.
Other than it involves football and the management thereof.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, you know, some people don't even get that far with it. I've had to explain it to people and they've even looked confused at that. So, yeah, I think you've pretty much hit the nail on the head straight away.
You've grasped it.
Good.
You've grasped it. Can you... I'll try and imagine a scenario. You're trying to sign a particularly high-profile player in the
Kick
media.
It!
That's one of the things.
Yeah. That's one of the options. Yeah.
I mean, one of the things that they don't have on the game, which I think they might, but they probably should, to be honest, after the drive in today and spotting everyone queuing up outside the stadium to buy new kits, I think they should put that in the game now.
Yeah, they should. Yeah,
should have pixels turning up to buy new pixelated outfits that I designed on Photoshop.
That's a whole new level.
I think that's crossing it with The Sims. I think it's going a little bit too in depth at that point.
We were saying earlier that maybe Josh asked if it was a first-person game, like GTA.
That would be amazing.
That's a third-person game.
Is that a third-person? Yeah. Because you're not seeing through the eyes.
Yeah, first-person.
You can switch view.
You can. That's true. It's not Call of Duty, no. But it would be good if you could mash the two together. Like, you literally have to walk to the stadium to manage your team and maybe steal a car on the way.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, I think there's a very obvious crossover there. So, yeah. You know, I think I'll go and have a chat with the guys who make it and go, I think you're missing a trick here, lads. Yeah. Come on, let's get that in.
Tony Jameson's aggressive, crime-riddled Football Manager. That's what it'll be called.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't Rockstar, the people who make GTA, don't they have an office in Leeds?
Are you suggesting we go round?
Absolutely, after the show.
All right.
Yeah, I mean, I think we'd take that. We'll, you know, we'll just knock up a little treatment. We'll put it together and go, right, this is what we need to do, and be fine.
I can't see this failing at all.
No?
No.
No. Foolproof.
This time next year, Rodders.
The Ross and Josh Show on Radio Yorkshire.
This week on Leeds Best Sandwich, we'll be plate testing two of the latest offerings from the Greedy Pig. The Hog Roast and the Halloumi. It's time for Leeds Best Sandwich, the best sandwich in Leeds.
I love sandwiches.
Is it the best sandwich in Leeds? Well, we will see. Bread with filling.
I love sandwiches.
I flipping love sandwiches. And so we embark on our quest to find the best sandwich in Leeds. A brave quest, yes. A noble quest, yes. But somebody has to do it. And so we begin at the Greedy Pig on North Street in Leeds.
So here we are at the Greedy Pig in Leeds. It's been open for, well, several years now. And it serves food, as do most cafes and or restaurants.
That's right, they do serve food. Thank you, Ross. This isn't your usual high street sandwich retailer, however. If you're looking for a more bespoke and individual sandwich experience, then the Greedy Pig certainly has a lot to offer. With a stripped-back rustic decor and friendly atmosphere, there really are no gimmicks here. And why should there be? After all, we're here for the sandwiches.
So, Ross, the sandwiches just arrived. First impressions?
They look pretty damn good,
they
Josh.
Look very
they look
good,
pretty
don't they?
Damn good. You've got the meaty option.
Yes, I do have the meaty option. And yes, Ross, it does look damn good. Thank you. So first up, it's the hog roast. Weighing in at around 300 grams, this sandwich is perfect for a lunchtime bite or early evening snack. Simplicity is the key here, and presentation includes a plate, a napkin, and the sandwich itself.
But I'm quite excited just to lift the lid on this, Ross, and just
yep.
Let's have a look at what's going on inside.
The build quality of this sandwich is impressive. The construction certainly shows this, and detail really is the name of the game. The casing of the hog roast is made from a toasted ciabatta roll, which houses a slice of authentic Italian porchetta, smothered in pickled fennel and a puy lentil salsa verde as a base. This sandwich really is a killer combination.
The aroma, Ross, I think I'm overwhelmed by the initial aroma that's coming off of this.
So am I, though. I don't eat red meat, Josh, but I'm considering changing my mind. It's been 20 years since I ate red meat. Since that fateful day.
What happened?
When I had to eat my way out of a pig farm.
Did you eat your way through the slurry?
I did. It was like the Shawshank Redemption, but with more pigs. But no, it looks incredible. You've got a pork belly with fennel and garlic.
Back to the sandwich.
Back to the sandwich indeed. And let's take a first bite.
Oh, my.
Almost melted in the mouth. Has it melted in your mouth?
No, it hasn't melted in my mouth, and I'm glad it hasn't, because there was some chewing involved. The texture of this sandwich is very satisfying. Mm-hmm. The crunch on the outside, combined, as you said, with the softer bread in the middle. But the pork is very succulent.
So that's a yes for texture, but what about the flavours?
The combination of sort of salty pork in here, the fennel, which is quite refreshing, but it's also pickled, so a little bit sour. Also mixed in with the puy lentils that have got some capers in there, so they've kind of got a little bit of a sour edge to them. Some lettuce in there as well. I think a little bit of rocket as well to give it a kind of a herby taste. It's very balanced, and not just balanced flavour-wise, but also the crunch on the bottom of the sandwich complements as well the kind of succulent pork and the...
You're enjoying it so much, you couldn't even finish that sentence.
No.
I think it's fairly obvious by this point how I feel about this sandwich. But just in case you weren't sure, here's my reaction.
I'm dubious to say this, I've just finished my sandwich, by the way, and I'm fairly dubious to make this statement, given that this is the first sandwich review that we've done. But that was quite literally one of the best sandwiches I've ever eaten.
And why wouldn't it be? This is a self-confident sandwich. It doesn't feel the need to overfill itself like lesser sandwiches, leaving you with sticky fingers and a mess on the plate. No, quite the opposite. The handling of this sandwich is absolutely superb, and it's durable too. And with a 3-year warranty, who wouldn't love this sandwich? Well, anybody who doesn't eat pork. So, to give us a little more about the halloumi sandwich, it's my colleague, Ross Briley.
Yeah, thanks very much, Josh. Yeah, I am taking the veggie option here at the Greedy Pig. Pork, not for me, I'm afraid. I do have incredibly specific tastes.
I only eat things that have that can swim or fly. I wouldn't eat a puffin. Do puffins fly?
Yeah.
Puffins exist?
Yeah, puffins exist. I've seen Floyd eat one on Far-Flung Floyd. Keith Floyd.
I thought puffins were extinct.
It's probably because of Keith Floyd.
No. Is everything that's extinct because of Keith Floyd?
Probably.
Yeah.
Sorry, Keith Floyd, if you are listening, which you won't be, because you're dead. So let's get on to the veggie option then, the halloumi sandwich. Walnut pesto on a chia batter with some red onions as well. Sounds delightful, but did it live up to its billing?
Remember that halloumi is a notoriously squeaky food, so if you hear any feedback, any reverb, it's my teeth on the cheese.
Okay.
Which is my new catchphrase. It's my teeth on the cheese.
I think it's my teeth on the cheese would be a good another sort of way of saying it's my neck on the line. I know you don't care about this, Dave, but the thing is, it's my teeth on the cheese.
My teeth on the cheese, mate. Not your squeaky teeth, my squeaky teeth.
That is true. It is my teeth on the cheese when it comes to the veggie option. So what was my verdict?
Very oniony. The onion is a very potent flavour. Mm-hmm. Red onion. The halloumi, not overwhelming. Sometimes too salty, too much halloumi. You don't want an overwhelming salty taste in your mouth. That's one thing I've certainly learned from life. The pesto just adds that extra freshness. A little bit of a kick. That is acidity. Really big fan of the acidity there. And the bread, perfect. Crunchy on the outside, soft on the inside.
That's right, the bread was perfect, exactly what we're after. And of course, incredibly important to a sandwich. If there's no bread, it's merely cheese. So, what else have we got on the halloumi sandwich then? Well, what about the pesto, an oft overused condiment? Does it add anything particularly interesting to the mix?
The walnut pesto does add a nice little je ne sais quoi. How do you say je ne sais quoi in Italian?
Je ne sais quoi.
So, overall, a resounding success for both the meat and the veggie options at the Greedy Pig. But finally, let's find out just who is behind these wonderful sandwiches at the Greedy Pig. It's Joe and Stu. Step away from the sandwiches, Joe and Stu, and tell us more about the Greedy Pig. Not Josh, the shop. He is a Greedy Pig, though, isn't he? Look at him. Yeah.
Here we are at the Greedy Pig with Joe and Stu.
Hello.
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 Are you well?
Yes.
Thank you. Good. You're looking well.
Thank you.
Anytime. The history of the Greedy Pig.
We were looking for a business to run, the two of us, because we didn't work. We didn't spend much time together before, so we took over a sandwich shop. And now we're together all the time.
Yeah.
And how's that worked out for you, Stu?
It can be vocal at times.
Vocal, is that the word you're going with?
Yeah, but no, it works quite well.
And what's the philosophy of the Greedy Pig? I know that sounds a bit of a pretentious question.
It's we just cook what we want.
Okay.
And try and persuade people to buy it.
And what's your background?
I was a chef still am.
You are the chef of the Greedy Pig, aren't you?
Yeah, I sometimes forget.
What makes a good sandwich, Stu?
Good quality stuff.
Yeah.
We make everything we can as far as possible. You know, so I know everything that goes into the meat, and that's always fresh. I like to make the relishes just that little bit different. But then keep them quite simple, so it's a bit of leaf, a bit of relish, and then whatever filling you're having, and then good bread, and probably the best thing about it is cooking it when someone asks for it.
Like you said, obviously, yeah, it's not the same as going into a shop and picking up a cardboard box with a sandwich in it and running off back to your desk.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah,
so. But if you want the freshness, if you want to know the person who cooked it knows exactly what went into it. You have that interaction with the person that cooked it, or you have to wait a few minutes for that. And we're not talking about a vast amount of time. Yeah. We're talking about minutes.
So finally, Lee's Best Sandwich, your entry two entries. The meat entry is the hog roast. The veggie entry is the halloumi. Why are these Leeds best sandwich?
Because they are.
Well, that's it then from the Greedy Pig. The first entry into the inaugural Leeds' Best Sandwich here on Radio Yorkshire. Will they emerge triumphant? Well, you'll just have to wait and see. If you have a suggestion for a cafe, restaurant or shop that may well serve Leeds' Best Sandwich, then get in touch with us here on Twitter at @radio_Yorkshire or at @the_NSL_show, and we will endeavour to investigate. Our search continues for Leeds' Best Sandwich.
It's time for Leeds' Best Sandwich, the best sandwich in Leeds.
I love sandwiches.
Is it the best sandwich in Leeds? Well, we will see. Bread with filling.
I love sandwiches.
I flipping love sandwiches.
Sir Peter Farries, hello.
Hi, y'all. How are we?
that's a very downbeat tone compared to a minute ago. You come in sort of hopped up on hip-hop bravado like
B-Rabbit
from 8 Mile, and listen, as far as that, you've got spaghetti on your top.
I'm sorry, listen, right? I was hungry on the way out. And also, if I can just say, there's Kanye and then there's me. So don't start that, Josh. It's not fair.
In terms of what? Arrogance?
No, in terms of the hip-hop scene, there's only Kanye.
I don't know who you all think you are. I'm a visionary genius.
You are.
You're
welcome
like a
to the
tired
show.
Visionary genius.
We're all very tired.
Yeah, because I'm up late writing some sandwich rap.
I didn't ask you to.
Oh, Pete, have you got anything to do with sandwiches?
That's
or
not
just magic
true.
Something up overnight, Ross. 4 a.m.
He just said, can you make him a rap? Spelt with a W.
Yeah. Leeds' best sandwiches or rap. That's what I said. You misheard.
Oh, anyway, I've wasted my life.
Anyway, Pete, thanks for coming in. It's been a couple of weeks since we saw you.
Yes,
I mean,
it has.
In here, not in general. I mean, you haven't gone missing. I don't know.
That's my family.
Well, I will get them on the line. And you, last time it was Jurassic World, but you've come in for a more positive approach.
Yeah, listen, I was got a bit of stick last time I was in because I came in pretty negative. I was holstered some negative guns and I fired them off while I was in here, and that wasn't fair and it wasn't right. So I've come in this time a bit cheerier, although initially it's hard to tell that, and I've got a pretty cool message for everyone.
All right, okay. Do you want me to? What's the word?
You just drop it, Ross, please.
Drop the
beat. Drop it, yeah.
Can you drop it, please?
Can you just drop it, please, Ross? They're pan pipes. These are pan pipes.
This is Pete Farries and MC Colgate and...
Don't talk over my trap.
Toothpick
Pete. Farries! Leeds! Sunny shops, popping up like Greggs. Popping out of rigor just like capitalist eggs. Stop and have a pitter at the Merry and Pitter. I know it's not a sandwich, but by three, then stark it. Mrs. Bassett is all of it. If you are a hipster, I wonder if she makes it more, if it is a sister. A little less posh for your dosh when you're under the cost from your boss's nosh. Hey! A little less posh for your dosh when you're under the cost from your boss's nosh. Hey, go buy a sandwich from a place called Fatso's. I heard the BLT is a favourite of Chilino's. If you're looking for a tasty bite, hit up the Greedy Pig. A lovely tasty sandwich tastes faster than a Russian mick. What about Trinity and sushi instead? But Pete, that's not a sandwich. What's wrong with your head? Ha ha, you, I turned and said, anything's a sandwich if you bring your own bread. What about a chicken one from the Sunshine Bakery? They don't use preservatives, cause I hate fakery. All this rap and this beat that I have been hitching to say my favourite is actually the brie, with a little bit of cranberry from Mill Kitchen.
Pete Farries!
Have you got any gunshot sounds?
Dropped it. I would. Came in here confident and I dropped it.
Westwood.
This is still going. Yeah.
I can't control the track, Ross.
Can you undrop the beat? Can you pick the beat up, please, Ross? Can you pick it up?
Can you tidy up that beat, please?
Will you tidy up that beat left, right and centre?
We've got guests coming round, for God's sake.
The Ross and Josh Show on Radio Yorkshire.
Pete Farries, who is in the studio today, has unveiled his...
Who's actually by trade a very serious UEFA journalist, but he's just coming to do a sandwich rap.
You are an incredibly serious man, normally.
Yeah, I am.
So much so that the Coen brothers may make a film about you.
Well, here's hoping.
Here's
Ross.
Hoping.
I imagine it's going to happen pretty soon now that I'm going to be famous with that rap.
Or is it Ethan? One of the Coen brothers has a man who also has a very similar name who made Garfield. And Bill Murray said that he did Garfield because he thought the Coen brothers were directing. He said, "Oh, what was that? Like, Ethan and Joel Coen." And it turned out it was another Joel Coen with a slightly different name. And he's now the voice of Garfield for three films because of that slight mistake.
That's brilliant. I love the fact that he's even after the first one, he went, No, it must be. I've got two more to prove it's definitely him. Right? I'm man of my word.
This is going to get real dark real quick, and I can feel it, I'm sure. Where's John Malkovich? It's Tilda Swinton in the studio. You're here to talk about your show, Football Manager Ruin My Life, which is going to be on the Edinburgh Fringe Festival.
The Edinburgh Fringe Festival, yeah.
And you're at the Stand, which is we were just saying is a lovely, lovely venue.
Yeah, it's brilliant. I'm at Stand 6 this year. They keep expanding every year. So I was
six?
Yeah, I was in Stand 4 last year, which is a nice little 40-seater. And then they've now gone up to Stand 6. So
where's that then? Because the Stand's sort of
downstairs,
and then around the corner there's a couple more upstairs.
Yeah, so still on the same street, so still on York Place, so right. Across the road is a hotel, that becomes Stand 3 and 4, and then a little bit further down there's another hotel that they've taken over, which is now Stand 5 and 6, so yeah, it should be good fun.
It's starting to get to the point now where there are no buildings in Edinburgh that don't have shows in.
Pretty much. I think we're going to be maybe about 3 or 4 years away from Leeds having an Edinburgh Fringe venue. Going, I've got this brilliant place just off the Royal Mile. Where is it? Leeds City Centre.
At 2:20
in the morning.
Yeah, I think you get some decent crowds, I reckon.
Yeah, I think it'd be good though. That would be quite a statement to go, I'm doing the Edinburgh Fringe, but I'm doing it from my house. Yeah. Doing it on my terms, and this is how I'm going
to
do it.
Via satellite link.
You'd probably get more people turn up than to the average Edinburgh show, though, even if it was in Leeds City Centre.
Yeah. My particular favourite was when I came last year and you were doing a bit... was it last year or was it the year before?
It would have been... It wasn't last year, it was the year before. Was this when you came to see me?
I came to see you in that I can't remember what... It was it was a Just a Tonic thing or something.
It was a 100-seater venue,
yeah.
And there was you, Sarah, and a girl who was writing in a notebook that I presume was a reviewer... She wasn't.
No.
She was just writing in a notebook.
She was that bored, she started writing in a notebook.
Yeah.
Do you have much experience with that kind of...
Yeah, there's been times like that. Someone told me I forget who it was that mentioned it, but they said they did a show where there was two people in the audience and both of them were reviewers. And it was just like, right, going to do this an hour. And that's, I can imagine that's a properly awkward hour.
Yeah. Do they still... review and actually publish that?
I presume so. I mean,
how could you possibly
review a show with no audience?
It's like coming around and you might as well just do it in your front room beforehand and save all the effort and just go, just give us a good review, it's fine, just pop round to mine, I'll make you a cup of tea, put the kettle on, it'd be lovely.
Which again, it comes back to this whole thing of doing, let's do the Fringe from our own house.
Yeah,
be great.
We should definitely do that. That'd be a lot easier. It'd be a lot cheaper as well.
I think so. Well, I mean, you still have to charge yourself a lot of money just for no reason. Just throw loads of money out of the window and just go, there you go, that's me doing the Fringe.
Get your front room redecorated for no reason.
Yeah. And then just invite people around to say you're not very good.
Yeah.
Is that awesome?
Good. Well, that's it, yeah.
I think I've talked myself out of going now, to be honest. I don't really want to go now.
There's a Yorkshire Fringe, as you were just saying.
There is, yeah. They're doing... this is the first time they're going to do it in York. Apparently they're building a purpose-built venue, so I don't quite know where it is, but it's run by the guys who run the Leicester Square Theatre down in London, so I did a run of the show, because I've been touring the Football Manager show as well, which has been quite nice. And so we did, like, there was a Leeds Comedy Festival, Toby Jones runs, a few weeks ago, so I did that at the Wardrobe, which was lovely. And then they're now doing one in York. So they said, oh, will you come and do a show? And I was like, yeah, that's cool. But I'm doing the Football Manager show in, like, October. So I was like, I can't do that one, but I'll do, like, a new show that I'm writing. So
what's that called?
I'll do that. It's called Is This What I've Become? So it's nothing about Football Manager. It's basically...
I tend to say that, though, when I'm playing Football Manager and cheering a goal and going, yes, and thinking I've got so much to do, and then going... Oh, is this what I've become?
It's actually it's a perfect transition in terms of the.
Yeah.
Have you got your whole career mapped out from here on in? Is that it?
I mean, to be honest, I've not even considered that link until just now, when I was like, actually, that is a perfect step, isn't it?
I'm putting out fires all over the place. So I've got to say,
this is. I think this is your best day yet, like as in your life.
The best day he's had in
but general. It's funny because obviously you've toured this Football Manager show for a while now, and we've been discussing Football Manager and trying to save anecdotes for whatever, but
the worst day of my life, worst run of my life, culminated in a game of Football Manager.
What do you mean?
Well, it's funny because...
Are you doing a show?
It showed how important Football Manager had become, because... In the same sort of few days,
I like the fact. By the way, just to cut in, you're still going for the hand holding the mic.
I've got a bad neck.
No, it's fine.
In all seriousness,
it's all the wrapping.
A family member passed away on say the Monday or the Tuesday, right? I broke my wrist on the Wednesday. The girl I was seeing at the time,
took her for a drink on Thursday.
I had a massive argument with my then girlfriend. On like the Thursday, I got really ill, like I had like a flu or something for a couple of days, and then I was playing Football Manager in my convalescence, and I got to the final of the Champions League.
Who were you managing?
Middlesbrough, always Middlesbrough. Mm. I had two of my players missed penalties, and then
who
I lost.
They? Name and shame.
They were Stuart Downing,
right.
And I believe I remember rightly Fernando Cavanaghi, who we were talking about earlier.
Yeah.
So they missed penalties, and then I sat there and thought, oh, I can't take this anymore. This is too much. But the fact was that that hurt more than all of the other stuff combined. And I thought, this is becoming an issue. If this is what's happening, this is an issue.
To be honest, though, that's very, very similar to what I get at the shows. I'm quite open with... Because like when we sort of started writing the show, I was like, all right, we'll do this and it'll be fun. And I didn't quite know who was going to turn up. And what happened was there was a load of blokes in their late 20s, early 30s... would turn up and they'd go, right, tell us about Taribo West, that's what we want, and it just became a support group.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what I advertise it as. It's a support group with a few bits of funny anecdotes about Footy Manager, which seems to be that sort of level seems to come in, and everyone seems to have the same story of hurt and anguish and missed penalties and red cards that never were, and it's true, we all live it, we all suffer, and some people say that's not real, but they're wrong.
The sense
I'm
of achievement,
so glad
though.
We found each
I don't
other.
Think I don't think in my life I've ever had the same sense of achievement.
Not even after the rap.
Well, not even after that. But I've never had the same sense of achievement as when I did a treble one time with Borough, and I thought that was like genuinely. I've had a spring in my step for like 3 weeks, and then like nothing in my life. It's like a really strange adrenaline release,
yeah.
Isn't it?
I'm just going to find out exactly, Josh. What's your overriding Football Manager experience?
Boop 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 boop. Boop, 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 boop.
Sorry, what, Ross?
What was that?
That was just the noise that was going in my head whilst you were talking about Football Manager.
Never played it, have you?
I've never played it, no. I've never played football, so...
Well, that's not surprising, though. You look like the least athletic man in the world.
Thank you.
You look like you'd be like a sweaty piece of gristle. Just getting...
I'm sure there'd be some sports that my physique would be...
Clay pigeon shooting.
yeah, that's
good.
One.
Clay pigeon shooting. I've actually done that before, which is one of the few sports.
Were you the clay pigeon?
Yeah.
Can we do that? Can I shoot you?
Can you shoot me?
Yeah, is that
something? No, Ross, you can't shoot me.
I don't know, we've had a bit of rapping and all of a sudden you've turned into the most polite drive-by ever. Do you mind if I shoot you?
Excuse me,
what,
sir?
A drive-by? Paul!
Actually, that would be better if all hip-hop drive-bys were done with shotguns and clay pigeons.
Whilst wearing tweed and a flat cap.
Oh, absolutely,
yeah. Excuse me, sir. Bang, there we go. That'll teach you to disrespect me.
The Ross and Josh Show on Radio Yorkshire.
Tony Jameson, we were talking about Football Manager, but not necessarily in too much detail. Because I think the thing is, with Football Manager, it's one of those things where it's like dreams. You know, people have dreams and they go, let me tell you what happened in my dream. And then people go, oh, let me tell you, I'm in 2016 and I've got Kidderminster right and I've just signed this. And people are like, yeah, I've got my own Football Manager stories, mate. Hurry up, come on. It's my go.
Yeah, I think that's about right. To be honest, I think everyone's got their own little thing.
Yeah, but it's more, it's almost like I'm not saying I'm not listening to you, but I'm also thinking about, oh, how can I tell my Football Manager story now?
I think you're kind of trying to use it as a barometer, sort of go, all right, yeah, so you're doing quite well. Are you doing quite well?
Yeah.
All right, well, I think you'll find I'm doing better.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? So you sort of top trump everyone. So,
managing a country at the same time.
Exactly.
I'm managing Malta.
I think what, if you've got Football Manager at home,
yeah.
What we should try and do is I should try and play Football Manager and we should film it.
All right.
Because it'd be like a monkey trying to operate a nuclear power station. Because I don't know anything
exactly
about football,
that.
So it's sort of...
Let's also do that.
Yeah, okay.
We can find someone who owns both a monkey and a nuclear power station.
Yeah, Mr. Burns, probably.
Yeah, we'll get involved with Mr. Burns if you're a... Monty Burns, we'll get him in. Yeah, because, again, I mean, you say the titles, it ruined your life, but it hasn't, has it, Tony, really?
Well, I mean...
You wouldn't change it for the world, would you?
I think, no, I wouldn't. And I think that Football Manager played a significant part of my life. Probably, it's not really a snappy title, is it? So, I'll be honest, there was part of me thinking more about the title of the show and then went, right, I'm going to have to sort of work around this. And, yeah, I mean, similar to Pete, really, it's sort of like various moments where a little bit too much has gone on and it's all sort of interwoven with Football Manager. Like, I think the worst part that I had was when I was living in Birmingham. I didn't quite like it, and I'd done the same. I'd split up with a girl and work was getting really stressful and horrible, and I was sort of struggling to keep my job on the game as well, so
I'm sorry,
struggling to keep my job on the game, like the Aston Villa.
For a second there, I thought this is a whole other story.
Yeah, oh no, well, I quit the teaching job to save my Aston Villa career. That's what I did, and then I got sacked by Villa as well. So I lost two jobs in a day. Not happy, not a happy bunny at all.
Not good. No, at all. No. Like I said, it does tend to affect you quite a lot.
Yeah.
Are you still afflicted?
Absolutely. Yeah. I was still playing it last night. I'm Berwick Rangers at the minute, but I think I'm going to walk. I've had enough of them.
Yeah. Not ambitious enough.
No. It's just, there was a board takeover at the start of the year, right? And because of that,
imagine in Josh's brain right now. Again, it's just cobwebs.
it's just like in his head. It's just a monkey with symbols.
Just walking around in a circle. Yeah. Let's be fair. That's most of the time.
Right. So, at what point does he chase the cheese? Right. And so I had a board takeover.
A cheese board takeover.
Yeah. And so I couldn't buy any players in the summer. And I just moved up into the Scottish Championship. And it's a different world, isn't it? League One to Championship level. It's a different world. And these guys aren't cut out for it. And I think we're going to go down. So, I'll be honest, like I am sort of looking around for other jobs. So
if you're going to go down, it sounds like you might not have a choice.
Yeah.
I'm only contracted till the end of the season anyway, so it's not going to really be too much of a walk.
It teaches you a lot, I think, about a Football Manager as well, especially in terms of you saying about losing jobs and stuff. But sometimes you'd be incredibly successful. You'd take. I particularly remember I took Tamworth to the Premier League. Mm. Suffered a particularly rocky start. Hovered around the relegation zone, and they fired me 10 games in. And that teaches you that life isn't fair, Tony.
Yeah, it's
just not
exactly.
Fair. It doesn't matter what you do, you're only as good as your last 10 games.
That's the metaphor for life, right.
But it's interesting because on a sort of semi-serious note, I mean, what I do outside of course, cobbling together 3 a.m. sandwich wraps, is I'm a football journalist. That's my job.
Are you?
Yes, I am, yeah. And
you hide it well.
I mean, we were talking, and it kind of clicked when we were chatting off air a moment ago. That's probably... genuinely one of the reasons I do what I do.
That's where you get all your research from.
Well, there is sometimes.
That's a great goal from a man who's got 20 for shooting.
There is, on the new Football Manager, or certainly the last few, has of course been the media. You've got to deal with all the media stuff. And I've asked the question before to actual genuine human football managers and gone, hang on, that is a question off. I think word for word a question of Football Manager. And it's bizarre.
But did you?
It really sort of formed my psyche.
Did you offer the manager in question several options and wait for him to choose one, and then go? Ooh.
You've also got no comment and storm out.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Oh, he's gone assertive. Excellent. He must really mean this.
Change his stats. Yeah,
but no, I think you're right. Like, especially with journalism and that, if because it's all scouted, obviously from real scouts, and there's sort of stories where people have been picked up and bought just off the back of what they're doing.
People getting managerial jobs in Sweden over it.
Yeah, that's right. There was a Swedish guy, Azerbaijan, I think he went.
Yeah,
managed
think so,
in,
right?
And well, that's great. And real managers have been using it because
Andre Villas Boas.
Yeah, that's right. Because the database has been sold to Prozone now as well. Mm. So it is sort of merging, and it's no longer just a game. I think it's becoming part of football culture, which I think the games company are very happy about.
Yeah, well, they will be, because it's pretty much guaranteed success from here until the end of time, isn't it? Or the end of football.
I think so. But at the end of the end, I mean, you've got certain players who get bought and they're decent on the game and they're not so good in real life.
Well, yeah, because that does happen. It's probably not as happened as much as I expected it to, but it has occasionally. The most prominent example, I think, was Ibrahima Bakayoko. who was an incredible striker for Montpellier back in the day, and then went to Everton for, I think it was about £6-7 million.
Yeah,
it turns out he was awful.
Yeah, there was a bit I did in the show, and it's sort of like it's now stuck because it happened. You know, when you get sort of like moments that just they're in the moment, and you go, "Oh, that's brilliant," and I'm going to try it again and see if it works.
Yeah,
and I did a little bit. I was talking about Ibrahima Bakayoko during one of the shows, and someone, and I'd said, "Oh, he played for Everton," and someone shouted out, "No, he plays for Chelsea." And I was like, "No, it was Everton." And he went, "Oh no, sorry, that was on my game, my mistake." And I just love the sort of the blurring of reality with it.
But again, 30 million. I don't think he did, mate. 40 goals a season. No.
But Football Manager, almost you could argue, put pressure on some players' careers. Freddie Adu, for example, 14-15. Everyone in the world of football has found this young lad on Football Manager. He gets touted all over the world as the next big prospect. Bobbles around a few clubs. He's a journeyman now. Still playing, obviously, but he's a journeyman and never, ever amounted to anything. And obviously, there'll be other reasons. But the point is that at a young, 14, 15,
he was being
spoken of, possibly hugely because of Football Manager, as his new young starlet, and he never actually got there.
Yeah, I mean, sort of on the flip side of that, you've got, I mean, Freddie Adu was sort of like one of the big cases, like you say, could be the next big thing. I think Alex McLeish's son was playing one of the early Football Managers, and he spotted Messi in the Barcelona B team. And he was going, "Oh, like, Dad, you've got to get this guy. He's going to become the greatest player ever."
Wow.
And apparently Rangers did try and take him and Iniesta on loan when they were like 14 or 15 or something, which would have been mental. But yeah, they did. They spotted him. Well, yeah, he's totally going to be great. And so, yeah, for everyone that's terrible, there's one that works, I suppose.
I found what I'm looking for. Just you didn't know.
Hello, Bono.
I just popped in. Kennedy
Bakayoko. Kennedy Bakayoko. Was at Hammarby.
Yeah, he was.
Went off to play
Ajax at some point as well.
Yeah,
I think.
He did. Yeah.
Santander. I think he was at Santander.
Yes.
Yeah.
Not the bank. Obviously.
But Kennedy Bakayoko. Yeah, he was. He was in the Alan Borgvad Golden Generation.
Well, this is the there's a really strange interview with him. Where he said, where is it? It says Kennedy. How can you say his name again?
Kennedy Bakayoko.
Bakayoko. Okay,
it's got Turkish influence, so I'm not going into pronunciation.
No, well, you are, aren't you? It's a name synonymous with the Championship Manager computer game series. And he said he recalls, "I trained with Manchester United for a couple of months when I was 17. It was a dream come true." And he said he played with David Beckham, Paul Scholes, Ryan Giggs. They had the Amsterdam too. I later played with the Ajax. And he said, "If I'd left Sweden earlier, people may have known about me for more than just Championship Manager." And he says, "I stepped into Sir Alex Ferguson's shoes in the game. I signed myself for United. It was a case of what might have been. I played myself in the middle of the park, pushing David Beckham out to the right. I let him take the odd free kick. He is the master after all." And he says, "I also signed myself for Barcelona. I remember thinking it was great to see my name listed in that squad, even though it was just a computer game. I played myself in the number 10 position, shunting Ronaldinho out wide this time to make way. It worked a treat."
Football Manager ruined my life.
But this is the thing. He is... There's a real bittersweet quality to that. He's kind of like, just imagine what could have been.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and he's an actual footballer. So
yeah, he
he's not even happy being a footballer. He has to go onto this game and imagine a better world for himself. Imagine what we're like as mere mortals.
I know.
I think what happened was there with the last section is that I was listening up until the point that you said that people actually ended up with jobs in football from playing Football Manager, and then I went off on my own trail of thought and realised that my only two job options are either to become a miner or a blue hedgehog.
Right.
Which I'm not too bothered about either of those.
Not a mildly stereotypical plumber? You could be a plumber.
Okay, you're right, yeah. What nationality am I going to be?
You've got to be really ridiculously Italian.
Okay.
But voiced by a man who's never even been to Italy.
All right, and what do I do in this plumbing job?
You just punch bricks, essentially.
Right.
Just punch bricks, and
do I have to kill any animals? Is there any animal cruelty involved in it?
You do, yeah, but you can only kill them by jumping on their head.
And how am I going to get paid?
In mushrooms.
Right. Okay.
And coins.
Okay.
But to get the coins, you have to smash your head against the wall.
That's not true. He doesn't smash his head. This is it's an oft misquoted.
You can get money by throwing turtles at things as well.
Yeah, you can do that, yeah.
Well, okay. Doesn't he jump up and smash his head against the wall?
No,
it's like a punch, isn't it?
He uses his little arm like that.
And where do I apply
really
for this
hurt,
job?
So he was kind of like, sort of like, jolting.
Yeah, you know, it looks like it, but then you actually really look, he's just doing like that.
Oh, that's not very good for your hands if you're a plumber, is it?
It's probably better than using your head.
That's true. It's yeah.
And I mean, if it's your sorry,
left,
doctor.
If it's your left hand as well, all plumbers are right-handed.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah,
that
yeah.
is a fact.
That is a fact. That's a fact.
Otherwise, they
didn't think of that. You're right.
They can't fit the U bends correctly.
Yeah.
So, Ross and Josh, Pete Farries.
Hello.
And Tony Jameson.
Hi.
Should we start a boy band?
Yeah. What should we be called?
You've said there's only like 10 minutes of the world left. So, is it really worth it?
I don't know. I've known boy bands who've had less of a career.
Should we try a four-part harmony?
No.
Okay.
We were talking about Football Manager. What I want to do is I want to read out some things that I got on Facebook when I put that you were coming on. Some of them are unreadable, obviously. Tony Jameson, one of you, but some of them, that was from your dad, I think.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. Yeah. I'm surprised he has Facebook, to be honest.
He has, he's entered the modern age. And yeah, I said, what have people got to say? One person said two words, Lebahang Mokawena.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Nice reference.
Yeah. That's almost too niche for me. I don't know.
South African, I think he was.
Oh, yeah, you'd imagine so. Yeah.
Attacking midfield. Central.
There we go. That's what you're here for, Tony. That's what you're here for. We had a few others as well. Won League Two with Port Vale. Quit. Convinced the bigger clubs would come calling. They didn't. Ended up taking over Mali and guiding them to the African Nations Cup, within their fourth place at a World Cup. As such, I have now a very unhealthy knowledge of Malian players in French League Two.
Of which there was quite a few, actually, even to this day.
Mm. It does sound like he's done well, though, if he's managed to get, you know, some world recognition.
Yeah, he's very good.
Better than Port Vale, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, if anything, it was a great decision in hindsight.
Yeah, yeah. You're leaving Port Vale to become an international manager.
Yeah,
and then guiding that small country to an African Cup of Nations, and what did you say, fourth in the World Cup?
Fourth in the World Cup. Yeah,
exactly. I mean, you know,
he was devastated about losing that third place playoff, obviously.
Yeah, but I mean, he can't be too disappointed. He probably wasn't even expected to get out of the group, I'd imagine.
Is it not better to say I got to the semi-finals than I finished fourth?
I don't know, is it?
I don't know. If you're Marley, you'd probably say, finish fourth in the world, mate.
Yeah, fourth in the world.
That's
six places higher than Wales. One guy took Football Manager so seriously, he set fire to a bin in his room while his team were playing a game in Turkey to replicate the atmosphere. Thank you very much for Darren. That's taking it too far. And people wearing suits as well. There's lots of stories about people wearing suits for cup finals, getting really...
Got to dress up smart, mate. You can't turn up in your pyjamas.
No,
it's cup final, isn't it?
Well, who's your tailor of choice?
It's not so much... I had to go and get it altered because I've put a little bit of weight on since my last cup final appearance, but, you know.
That's fine. You still got it, though.
Yeah,
of course. You just have to adapt your game.
Yeah.
That's fine, just sit deeper. Nick says, who I went to school with, he says, I only remember that you got me into Championship Manager, and with the sole reason I didn't get any A's in my GCSEs, so that's something for me to be proud of, I think. I also remember you getting very shirty when I joined a game you were playing at the end of the season as Sheffield United, who were already promoted, and I took all the glory, which probably didn't help matters. Yeah, that was a joy as well. I remember at school, and then at uni in particular, when we should have been doing a million other things, hot seat games, where you could all play on one computer, which was... It sounds terrible, and at the time, I think it was the most tedious thing ever, but I still enjoyed it, where you go, I'm still trying to sign free transfers here. I've got a semi-final to play. And you'd have to vacate the computer and switch it to someone else, and they would have to play their games.
Yeah, no, I think that seems fair. I remember doing that, because I think the network games were always quite tricky to do, so...
Yeah, because these were in the days where the internet was a new fad.
Yeah. That's completely right. I've not played it online, to be honest, at the minute, against other people.
You'd never leave the house, would you?
I've never done it.
No.
Never, ever done it. Football Manager is a game to be played on your own, quietly, in the dark.
It's weird, though, isn't it? Like, because FIFA, very social.
Yeah.
Happy to play FIFA against anybody in the world.
Yeah.
Football Manager, like you say, it's my thing.
It's because it's your world.
Yeah.
It's your world. It's what you've created.
Got a few screenshots as well. Andrew Horton sent me one, and there's this time I took Barnsley to the Premier League via possibly the greatest playoff final known to man. They beat Wigan 5-4 in the final, with Vitaly Kutuzov scoring a 92nd minute winner.
Nice.
Amir Zaki scored twice for Wigan. Remember Amir Zaki?
Yeah, he's very good. You could actually get him quite cheap a couple of games ago, and he was really good, wasn't he?
Mm.
That's right, amazing.
If you don't like Football Manager and you're still listening, tell us why on Radio Yorkshire. I've got loads of them. Absolutely loads of these stories. I think, like I said, it's the only thing that I can compare it with personally as well is we're saying earlier, Roller Coaster Tycoon. was something. Did you ever play Roller Coaster Tycoon?
Yeah, I played like in theme park and stuff as well. Yeah. And yeah, but I don't know. Yeah, probably just quite similar.
Life, yeah, for a summer of just building obscenely ridiculous roller coasters and making virtual people vomit.
Yeah, yeah. I played it a bit. I was sort of like, I think because I'm not a massive theme park person, I don't particularly like going to theme parks, I didn't really find much of an attraction with it, but...
You could have built the ideal theme park for yourself, which, I don't know.
Just, yeah, you could have, yeah.
Just been a sandwich shop that sells decent sandwiches.
Yeah.
That's all it would have been.
That, to be fair, that's my idea of heaven.
Sandwich Tycoon. I would play that game.
I would definitely play Sandwich Tycoon. Tony, thanks ever so much for coming in.
Thank you for having me. It's been good fun.
Good. Well, I'm glad. Yeah. I hope you're not just saying that.
No, I mean it and everything. No,
that's all right. Because I think, again, we had Peter Brush on a couple of weeks ago, and I said, thanks for coming in, Peter. And he went, it's all right. And I was like, well, you were going to say it's a pleasure then. He was like, yeah, I'm not sure it is.
That sounds like Peter Brush's guys.
Exactly,
yeah.
Like Peter. Yeah, and then I texted him afterwards and said, did you enjoy it? He was like, I never know. Yeah. He said he never knows. I just never know if I have fun.
I love how unconfident he is, despite the fact he's absolutely brilliant.
He is, exactly. That's exactly what I love about him. In fact, we'll end on Peter Brush's thought for the day, one more. But also need to say thank you to Mr. Peter Farris for coming in.
Cheers, everyone. Thank you. Enjoyed it.
And blowing us all away with your rap.
Will we be able to see you anywhere soon with your oncoming rap career?
I don't know about my oncoming rap career, but I am heading over to Yorkshire Sculpture Park after this show, so if you are there, please don't approach me.
All right, fair enough. Here's Peter Brush.
Tattoos. I don't have a tattoo because, you know, I worry I'm going to make the wrong decision and get something that I shouldn't have got, you know, because I think you can regret them, can't you? Like, people get tattoos, don't they, with their partner's name on it, not with a heart and stuff, and... I just think that's wishful thinking, isn't it? Because you don't know if you're going to be with someone forever. I think you should probably, if you're going to do that, I think it'd be more obvious to just get the heart and leave the name bit blank and just keep it updated in biro, you know. So, you know, just write the name of whoever you... It means you can have affairs as well, doesn't it? Because you can write different people's names in it. Or when, you know, the people that you're having affairs with find out about each other, then, you know, you can write to let in it instead.
Peter Brush there, seeing us out with one of his thoughts for the day. He really is a unique man. Josh, thank you ever so much.
It's all right, my pleasure.
Peter, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Tony, thank you very much.
Thanks very much.
The Ross and Josh Show on Radio Yorkshire.